The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. So I come in today, and you guys are like, why are you wearing headphones? Can I get coronavirus from headphones, Jared? Chairman of the board? You don't know. Eric, do you think that coronavirus can attack me through? Because somebody else had to have these on. I'm not sure who it was. Was it is Luke Lipinski probably that was in here before me? So if I get sick, all right, it's because of these. I had headphones here when I left on Thursday. I don't have headphones here when I come in on Monday, and it makes me very cranky. But that's not your guys' worry. We can execute this program seamlessly and effortlessly. We will have Scott Bordeaux with us today, Arizona Cardinal insider for The Athletic. Tony Romo's fat new contract, $17 million for Tony Romo to sit in a booth and watch games and analyze games. And you can debate back and forth. What is the meaning of having Tony Romo call a game? Does that bring extra people to television sets, or are there other business things at work here? And I will get into that. Scott was also at ASU's game against USC, and he brought no luck at all. They played poorly there, and they end up losing. They get swept. We're in this, like, I don't know, if I were in a dating relationship right now with ASU basketball, I'd probably dump them because I don't like the highs and the lows. They went through the 7-game winning streak, and then last week they just end up laying eggs. You know, the game on Saturday was an egg that was laid. The game on Thursday was a buzzer beater that just hurt. And there were places and times where they could have won. Both of those games and come away looking very, very good. Instead, they don't. And now they're home to the Washington-Washington State combo. And Washington State's playing better. And that is Thursday and Saturday. And the next week is Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. I am not sure, in all honesty, sitting here today, whether or not we should be in Vegas because of the coronavirus. Some of you are going to think I am overreacting to this. Eric, am I a germaphobe? You've known me a long time. Like, I spit openly and clear my nose and breathe. I don't cover my mouth, you know?
I don't share the same concern that you do, but I respect the fact that you have concern.
Well, I don't know. It's one of these deals where, like, it popped up in New York today. It's really big up in Washington, where my son happens to be. So am I going to not allow myself to see him for weeks and months now because of this? I don't know. I'll probably let my guard down. But in all seriousness, it's one of those deals where you're washing your hands more. I see guys, Peter wrote about it in his column, Monday Morning Quarterback, where he was fist bumping executives of the NFL in Indianapolis because they would say to him, coronavirus.
And I don't want this to sound insensitive or tongue-in-cheek,
then
but
don't say it.
Vegas is the dirtiest place in the world,
wow.
Regardless.
Wow.
I mean, there is no more germy city in America probably than Las Vegas.
You mean pulling down on a slot machine handle or touching the button that's been touched thousands of times and has not been wiped down? What do you mean? Like, they can't find masks. Masks are out. And there's people saying this is not a big deal, and there's people saying there is a big deal.
I fall somewhere in the middle, probably.
Yeah.
You probably slide more towards this is a big deal, which is fine.
Well, because look, we're a small company.
Those headsets on you are a big deal.
Yeah,
it's just a different look for you this morning. You look so nice. You're all dappered up in your suit.
And then I got this.
And then you've got the Martian headsets on. But hey, look at this. I wear these for every show, so don't feel so bad.
I don't. If I get sick, it's Luke's fault. No, but look, if we come in here and I'm hacking and sneezing and coughing, does it mean I have a coronavirus? No, it doesn't mean I have a coronavirus, but there's Jared. Jared has been the Iron Man, and he's battled through some physical stuff. You're an Iron Man, except when it's football season. You're gone every other weekend. Jordan, you know, Jordan just kind of comes. Jordan's doing this recruiting thing now, and since he's gotten this recruiting title, I think he's forgotten the whole notebook that I have in terms of time off and PTO and all that stuff. I don't think PTO exists at this company. I've just come to that realization that whenever I look up, I'm just surprised and pleased to see anybody here. That's where I'm at. But in all seriousness, I know some of you are probably very, very scared. Some of you are like, this is just a government made up hoax. This is a media thing. This is this. This is that. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, even the president, the way that he's handled it here in the last few days. Oh, it's fake news and all that stuff. He said hoax. He said hoax. It wasn't like somebody inserted it. And we have Super Tuesday tomorrow. So, you know, there's going to be political stuff in the news. And now this has become a political deal. For me to bring it closer to home, all right, for sports. You are sitting there with tickets to an upcoming sporting event, or you're going to get on a plane to go to an upcoming sporting event, or you're going to go into walk into an arena of 17,000 people. You have no idea where these 17,000 people have been. You're going to get on a plane, and planes can be tombs the way it is. I have no idea. I have no idea. But when you get on that plane and there's 130 other people and it's just one of them that's hacking and coughing and sneezing, which always happens, or it's the dude that decides to take off his shoes and cut his nails on the flight. Love that guy. Seen that guy. It's just like, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? So I think as the week goes on, sports is going to start to be impacted. In all seriousness, people are going to look at saying, should I go to a sporting event versus staying at home, taking it all in? Am I going to go to a concert? Eric's all over me. Is it Rage Against the Machine you're trying to get tickets to? All right. Yep. So let's just say 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, this thing's going full bore in our country. It's already on the front end of the deal. Do you feel comfortable going out among 16, 17, 18,000 people to go to a concert? Do you feel comfortable going to a movie theater with people you don't know? You don't know where they've been. It's not like you guys all exchange information as to where have you traveled? Where have you been in the last 30 to 60 days? If you're going to go to a concert and you're all excited to see the concert and you have people flying in from Virginia, where have those people been? And so in sports, I think the same sort of thing is going to happen. I'm going to sit here today and predict on this show that there will be games in the next few weeks that will be played in front of sparse to no crowds. I believe that that is going to happen. I don't have any proof of that. I just see where the trend is going. And I think I'm pretty good when it comes to trends. Now, you may say, well, Brad, you're talking about the Suns. Yeah, nobody should go watch the Suns after the weekend. I mean, Detroit and Golden State in a span of 24 hours and just look awful. I don't know why I set the DVR. I went to a charity event on Saturday night for House of Refuge. It was great. Calais Campbell flew in. Jay Feely put it together. We're at Wild Horse Pass. We're having a nice time. We got all dressed up in our 20s stuff. And I set the DVR before I left to go, when I got home, to go sit in my office and just watch awful, awful, awful basketball. Just dreadful basketball. And it hit me. Oh, wait, this is the team that hasn't had one playoff game since May 29th, 2010. That's right. That's this team. Not the team that they're playing that has two former Suns on it, that only had eight guys available. And then I get these people like, oh my gosh, I just can't believe I'm so disappointed in the Suns. Like, guys, this is what it is. This is what is. This is what is. It's awful. Opening commentary brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. Have you logged on to Sagicor Now and looked into their products? You never know when something may happen. Are you protected? Do you have your life insurance if something were to happen to you? Being very straightforward and very direct here. I sat with someone last Wednesday. This person has a lot of family members that he's looking out for. And he flat said to me, I need to look further into what's going on and tell me a little bit more about what Sagicor is all about in Sagicor Now. There's a program over there called Peace Assured. Check it out. It's through Sagicor Now. It's very good stuff. Great products. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support as title sponsors of Sports 360 AZ and the Football AZ Show. Scott Bordeaux from The Athletic is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So over the weekend on Saturday night, I was at Wild Horse Pass, a great charity event that Jay Feely puts together every year with House of Refuge, homeless families, and it's one I've been to the last several years. The place was packed in their grand ballroom. Calais Campbell flew in. He was with his mom. Calais donated a check for $55,000, $11,000 per household to be built, so he built five houses. It's a lot of fun. The thing with Jay is I walked over to him, and we're dressed up as Roaring Twenties, so I'm dressed up. He was the MC. I said, hey, nice deal on Tony Romo. And he went on for like 5 minutes about here's the reasons and here's how it worked out. Of course, Jay is a broadcast partner of Tony Romo and the timing of it all. We also had the combine to kick around a little bit. And then I saw where Scott Bordeaux was with ASU basketball. And I figured, you know what, let's have Scotty on board, Arizona Cardinal insider for The Athletic. He also writes on media on Tony Romo's fat new deal, PHAT, fat new contract. And ASU basketball's weekend, and ASU's not even in the top 25, neither is U of A. That's not a surprise, but there's 8 teams from the Big Ten in this week's AP that just came out like 20 minutes ago. With that as a backdrop, here's Scott Bordeaux. Okay, where do you want to start? What is in your wheelhouse? Is it Romo's deal? Is it you just saw ASU basketball? Or is it what are the Cardinals going to do with their draft pick? Where are you at here today,
You're
Scotty?
The host, Brad. You decide. I'll go wherever you want
Let's
to go.
Spin the wheel. Spinning the wheel, spinning the wheel, spinning the wheel. Let's start with the 8th pick overall in the NFL draft because you cover the Cardinals for The Athletic. The Cardinals are taking who? Now the combine is behind them.
I think if Derrick Brown is there, they run up to the podium and take him. I mean, they strain a hamstring running up to the podium to take him. I mean, they have a desperate need for defensive linemen. They only have 2 guys you can factor in as sure things right now, and one of them is a rookie who played in 4 games last year. That's Corey Peters and Zach Allen. Corey Peters will be 32 next season, final year of his contract. They really need somebody they can plug into that interior on the defensive line, and Derrick Brown has a chance to be a dominant player. If he's there, they take him. If he's not and Isaiah Simmons is gone, which I think he will be based on his ridiculous combine workout, I think it makes more sense for the Cardinals to trade down if they can from, say, 8 to maybe 12, because I don't think they have any one of those top 3 wide receivers, Judy, Lamb, or Ruggs, ranked so highly above the other that they couldn't grab one at 12. Remember, they have only 6 draft picks in this draft, So it would behoove them to get some extra draft picks, and if they can do that and still get one of those 3 wideouts at, say, 12 or 13, that's what I would do if I'm not getting Brown at 8.
Okay, you and I are on the same page in terms of trading back. I always believe when you have a top 10 pick, don't just sit there and fall in love with one guy, unless it's number 1 overall, which they did last year. And even then you can make the argument. What would the fans want them to do, right? So you have to factor that. I don't know if the Cardinals do factor that in, but from a fan standpoint, I think they would want them to take CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. If Steve Keim is able to trade back and still land one of those 2 marquee wide receivers that puts butts in seats. I agree with you about the defensive line and it being an issue. Butts in seats with this franchise, not that it matters with the new TV deal, but it does matter in terms of buzz in town. I think wide receivers the way they go.
I think, though, what puts fans in seats is winning. I mean, you know, ultimately that's what's going to do it. And they don't worry about attendance. They've had how many straight sellouts since that stadium opened?
Announced sellouts.
Last year, Wayne. I get it. I just think if Derrick Brown is there, I mean, if you think he can be a guy like Aaron Donald in that interior of that defensive line for years, how do you not take him if you think he can be that dominant? But, again, I'm with you. If you can't get him and you can get one of those receivers or Ruggs, they desperately need outside speed. Ruggs ran a 4.28 at the combine. If you can get him at 13 and add a second and third round pick, I do that in a second.
Talking about Scott Bordeaux from The Athletic. All right, so Kenyon Drake, your view of him returning to the Cardinals is what?
I think he comes back, but I do think, well, I don't know if you even say this. I do think he's going to test free agency. We're close enough now, 15 days away from free agency, 14 days away, that I think he's going to test the market. I think, you know, this Kenyon Drake understands this is his one chance to cash in. He's a 26-year-old running back. When he's 30, nobody's going to be lining up to pay him money. This is his chance to get that one big contract. So if you're Kenyon, why not see what's out there in free agency? Now, I don't think teams are going to pay running backs a lot of money. We've seen with the David Johnson contract, the Le'Veon Bell contract, the Todd Gurley contract. Teams are going to be very wary. But if there's a team out there willing to pay him $6 million a year, I don't know if the Cardinals go that high for him. They may just decide that they're going to see if David Johnson, with his second year in Cliff Kingsbury's system, and maybe with a prod under his butt that he had his job taken away, will play harder and run harder, and they'll try to go with him and Chase Edmonds in the 2020 season. They are not going to overpay for Kenyon Drake. They like him a lot. They really think he fits the offense, but they're not going to give him $6 or $7 million a year, in my opinion.
Okay, my understanding is, on the David Johnson deal, it's his family that is saying, please run out of bounds, please maintain your health, you have a lot of money. He'll never admit to that. I mean, like, all the way down to the end, it's all my family while I'm not running as hard as I once did. And I think there is the fire in the belly part of it. But couldn't you flip that around and say, you know what, David, it's been nice, it's been real, you're gone, you're going to Tampa or wherever, and let's put our resources into Kenyon Drake. Isn't that the better place, Scott? I mean, hoping a guy suddenly refigures out his fire, the family's not going anywhere. The little kids are not going anywhere. And I think that's the factor on this one.
Well, I've heard the rumor about the family. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, that's a hard thing to prove. But you have to think about the contracts also. Yes, I think ideally they would re-sign Kenyon Drake and trade David Johnson. Now, I can tell you for certainty the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are interested in David Johnson because of his relationship with Bruce Arians. But they are not going to take on a $10 million contract. The Cardinals are going to have to restructure that thing, eat at least $6 million, maybe $7 million of that contract in a signing bonus. So they're still going to have that cap hit this year. You know, so and then if you pay Kenyon Drake $7 million, let's say it's $6.5 million, do you want to be paying a running back $6.5 million for 3 or 4 years, even one that played as well as you did last year? You might think, look, there are so many college running backs playing in the same system Cliff Kingsbury uses. Couldn't we get one in the third or fourth round we think we can plug in? We've seen a lot of different teams do that in the last few years, and the Cardinals may just think we don't want to, you know, commit $25 million to Kenyon Drake.
There's going to be, and we're talking about Scott Bordeaux from The Athletic, there's going to be a deluge of quarterbacks looking for jobs. We had Brett Hundley on this last week. He was doing his world tour, dodging the coronavirus, canceled a thing in South Korea. I asked him about if he's back with the Cardinals, and he said he's hopeful. It was a lot of negotiating stuff, but he said his reps are talking to several teams. There's going to be some quarterbacks like Nick Foles has just popped up on the radar today. I think he's more of a starter. Do you think they're going to be in the market for a backup quarterback?
Well, I'm not sure why they would be. I mean, it's not like Brett Hundley's going to price himself out of the market. How much money is Brett Hundley going to get? He's a good locker room guy. He played well in the short time he had last year against Seattle. He and Kyler Murray get along. He can play this system because he's still a mobile quarterback who can get out of the pocket and make plays with his feet. I mean, why would they go out and get another backup quarterback when they have a very usable backup quarterback already in the building?
Okay.
To me, they re-signed Brett Hundley to just some reasonable 2-year deal.
But if you're Brett Hundley and Dallas comes along with a coach that you had a relationship with, I'm just saying, Scott. I mean,
is Dallas going to overpay for Brett Hundley?
Of course not.
Overpaying for a backup quarterback.
I'm merely putting out there that I agree with you on everything, but I think they may be in a market. They may be in a market for a backup quarterback. It was not a definitive, I'm coming back, but it's negotiating
time. If that happens, I think that's more on Brett's side than the Cardinals' side.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I'm just saying, I think that this could be a box that they might, based off our conversation with them last week, have to check. Let me get over to Romo before I get to ASU basketball. You're doing media stuff occasionally for The Athletic, and it reads like you really enjoy doing it, which is great. What do you make out of what do you make out of Tony Romo's deal from your media?
It's good to be Tony Romo is what I make out of that deal. Look, he's obviously a tremendous analyst. We've all watched the games. He knows what he's talking about. He's entertaining. He's probably the modern-day John Madden. And it's great timing because ESPN is looking to, do something with their Monday Night Football booth. And CBS was scared to death that ESPN was going to come to Tony Romo with a bucket load of money. And so they had to do the same thing to keep Tony Romo. Great timing for Tony.
And CBS also has the Super Bowl this coming year. And attendance is figuring to be down. TV viewership is going to be down this year for the NFL based off of the early projections from the network. I was talking to Jay Feely about all this stuff. And with the presidential race coming down the pike in October and November, there's going to be times where the NFL actually doesn't rate as high as political. So the money was there. The timing for him is amazing. Is there anybody who comes close to him that would deserve that kind of money outside of Ron Wolfley?
Our good buddy. I always ask this question. Does anybody really turn on a game just to hear the broadcaster?
No.
Tony Romo's always doing the number one game on CBS. So let's put somebody else in that chair. Let's say it's Kurt Warner, whoever. Is the viewership really going to drop off because Tony Romo is not broadcasting the game? And we'll flip that around. If Tony Romo is broadcasting, Cincinnati, Cleveland at the end of the year when they're both 4-11.
Yeah.
Are the ratings for that game really going to go up because Tony Romo is broadcasting it? I just don't know.
Well, I know. It's no. Because that game will be shown in northern Ohio, and that's it. It won't be shown across the country. Talking with Scott Bordeaux. Okay, you just came back from in watching U of A, or ASU rather, in USC. So ASU has a tough weekend. A buzzer beater loss, and then it looked like they were flat watching the game against SC. where is this team right now from a tournament standpoint? Take Joe Lenardi out of it. Take all the bracketologists out of it. What does Scott Bordeaux see on this team?
Well, I mean, look, if they stumble against Washington schools, then they're back on the bubble, definitely. They could be back in Dayton. But you're talking about the 9th and 12th place teams in the Pac-12. ASU should win both those basketball games at home on Thursday and Saturday. If they do that, they're a 21-win team with a 12-6 record in the Pac-12. There's no way they're not in the tournament. I would guess they're probably a 9 seed and comfortably on Selection Sunday, not worrying about Dayton, just trying to figure out which regional they're going to.
Do you like them? Do you like watching them play? That's not the first time you've seen that. I'm sure you've consumed other games. Do you like watching them play?
They're both entertaining and frustrating.
Yeah.
They're entertaining in the sense they play hard. I think Bobby Hurley has them playing hard. I love watching Remy Martin, what he can do late in games. Alonzo Verge has a great ability to get to the basket and score. But they're also very frustrating in the sense that I don't think they share the ball well. The ball sticks far too often. They had a total of, I think, 14 assists in the two games against the L.A. schools.
Oof.
They're just very inconsistent offensively. But they are entertaining to watch. They play a lot of close games, seem to win a lot of those close games. So, like I said, both entertaining and maddening at the same time.
I don't know what's more frustrating, Scott. I'll let you go off this. It's U of A every year, as long as I've been here, like 25 years, we have all these All-Americans. We have all these five-stars. We have all this. And then they went through the stage of, with Sean, we have these one-and-dones. They're going to be awesome and amazing. And they transfer out. And then every year their chemistry stinks. Every year. And it's the same script every year of, look at us, man. We got these three one-and-done dudes. And then there's ASU where Bobby's just scrapping and he brings in Verge and he's hoping to develop Romello, which I think Romello's developed through the years. I kind of like the blueprint of how ASU's going about their business rather than the flash and dance and zero substance when it comes to postseason from U of A.
Well, I'll give you two reactions to that. One, I think I told somebody this over the weekend. ASU reminds me of a mid-major that has guys for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And kind of builds around them. And they add a piece or here like Verge. But they have their core guys that are together for 3 years. They build some chemistry. They really like each other. They play hard. They remind me that way. And then switching to U of A, I will make this prediction. I don't think Sean Miller's the U of A coach after this season.
I agree with you.
I see a guy who's totally stressed out, who needs a year break, and then should wind up taking a job at a place like DePaul, where, you know, a program that once was good, that's been down for so long, if he wins 20 games there and gets to the, you know, round of 32, they'll celebrate him, where in U of A, they'll hang him in effigy. I think he's done at U of A after this year, and if I'm U of A, I'll put this name out there. The first call I'm making is Luke Walton.
Wow. I'd go Randy Bennett, but Luke Walton, Now, Luke is...
You need somebody. You have a football coach that doesn't care about that community. You need a basketball
you have an athletic director. You have an athletic director, it appears like, doesn't care about the community. I mean, that whole department is a joke.
Right. That's why basketball, which is the standard bearer of that athletic department, you need a coach who is invested in that program, invested in that community. I think Luke Walton, and plus his nature compared to Sean Miller, more easygoing. I think he'd recruit well. I think that would be a home run hire for U of A.
And Sean would go back to your TV thing. Sean would go do the TV stuff, and he'd be fine.
Absolutely.
He'd be just fine. All right, that's good stuff.
Take a year off, get healthy, relax, and then take a job where the stress and the pressure isn't so great.
That's good stuff. Appreciate your time. As always, thanks.
Anytime, Brad.
You're Scott Bordeaux with us with The Athletic. That was good. So when you look at, like, U of A over the weekend, their game Thursday night was a really hard watch. Really hard watch. And it shouldn't be. It's the same deal where Nico's trying really hard. He gets beat up in the UCLA game, and Sean loses his composure in the first few minutes of that game. To the point where Bill is doing the game with Pash, Bill Walton, and he's trying to calm him. And same with Richard Jefferson. It was a very pro U of A broadcast. But it was fun. It was good to listen to. Yeah.
It was really, really entertaining, Brad, to hear those three guys together. So,
would you do that again? Would you put Bill and Richard together?
Sure, because there's a backstory there. I mean, Luke Walton's best friend is Richard Jefferson. Like, Richard Jefferson was in Luke Walton's wedding, so he's lived with Bill Walton. There's just it's nice that there is a connection there. And I didn't think it was a pro U of A broadcast.
I thought it was.
I didn't think so.
I thought it was. There's a little bit of that. I heard Pash last night do the I want to call them the Hornets. The Pelicans and Lakers game.
Great game. Fun game to watch.
Did you watch?
I watched some of it. I didn't see all of it.
Yeah, let's get I know we have Calais on the other side, and we'll get into some of that because there's some good stuff going on in the NBA right now.
And I want to circle back to you, Brian. I don't know if you saw it, but U of A football lost another assistant coach.
I did see that this
morning. To Colorado.
Yeah, it's just...
The revolving door in Tucson.
It's just... Back with more after this timeout. All right, so over the weekend, I was asked to go to a pretty cool event, and I've been at this one before. Our good buddy J.P. Patchett over at Columbus, who's one of the best people I know around town and does a lot of good things behind the scenes for charities and helps out a lot. So he had a table, and he sent me a note back in January, hey, can you be our guest, bring your wife? It's Roaring Twenties night. It's at Wild Horse Pass. And it's for House of Refuge. House of Refuge, Jay Feely is part of that group. And they do tremendous work for people that become homeless. And Calais Campbell was invited to this event. And I knew Calais' backstory. Eric, did you know, I mean, we had Calais on with us 8 years ago. Did you know the depth of his homelessness when he was a kid?
I did not. So, I didn't even know until you told me this morning that he was homeless. So,
yeah. I thought he talked about it a little bit when he was with the Cardinals, but to the depth that he went. So, Wild Horse Pass, really nice ballroom. It was not one of these events where you felt like people were kind of noses up in the air, like we're so good that we're here and all that stuff. It was a good collection of people. Place was packed, all for the right cause, right reasons. I pulled Calais aside before the event started, ran into him just there. I'm wearing, if you guys are like, what kind of hat is that Brad's wearing? It looks like a farmer. It was a Roaring Twenties getup that I got on Amazon for $39.95, so leave me alone, okay? This was Calais. This was Saturday night before he spoke.
What are you going to talk about?
Well, I experienced a little bit of homelessness in my day. And so, I think what House Refuge is doing, the kind of people that help, people that I grew up. So, it's very close to my heart. So, just tell my story and then, try to inspire.
This guy's a Walter Payton Man of the Year. Well, I would have told you that when you're with the Cardinals, that, hey, you're going to leave here. You're going to leave jumping on the air with us, Skyping on in, getting better at media. You're going to go to Jacksonville and kill it. And you're going to be a Walter Payton Man of the Year. Would you believe it?
I mean, I knew that, at the end of the day, all the accolades are dope. You know, they're very nice, especially Walter Payton. That's like the most prestigious award in sport. But I knew that I wanted to make a difference in this world. And no matter where I was going to be, I was going to try to put time and effort into helping special kids, but all people in need. So, it's really cool that the NFL has made the award so prestigious. And it really makes other players want to do more. And that's a great thing, And so I'm more inspired than ever. But I think that, just thinking about it, man, it's like my whole goal is to help as many people as I can.
Has Jacksonville worked out better than you thought? I mean, when you left here, it was a shock. People like, Calais Campbell is leaving. It looks from a distance like everything has gone well for you.
Yeah, when I was weighing my options and I was going through the process of where to go, I told my family, I think Jacksonville would be a good place for many reasons, but I think one being that fact that I get to play in a 4-3, be a true DN.
Yep.
That was very appealing to me. And we went, through all the football stuff and it's been great. It's definitely been great, and then going to see it in the city and just the process of helping people and, applying what I've learned through this, in the fitness community. And it's been great. It really has.
Okay, I'm not wanting to date you on this, okay? But you're closer to the end than the beginning.
I am. Okay. I knew age was coming soon.
You were great coming on the air as a dopey little second-year guy and figuring it out, but the end is closer than the beginning. What is on the horizon for you? I'm not retiring you yet, Clint.
Yeah, man.
What are you coming out?
I've been trying to put myself in position for life after football. I think the coolest thing, though, is that, I still got a few good years left, and there's no need, there's no rush. I've done well enough where I can take my time to figure out what I really want to do. But the goal would be to get a TV job. I can stay close to Talk Sports.
Yeah, well, now with Tony Romo getting $17 million, timing's pretty good. We had a nice visit, and such a good guy. I'm trying to think, Eric, of guys that we've dealt with through the years that were just as good a people, and you know that that when he's done playing, he's going to be the same way. Now, he's got his people around him, and I get it. But I walked right up to him and said, I need you for a couple of minutes. And he said, let's bang it out. And we actually went a couple more minutes than that on some other things. Is there anybody better that you can is still playing? Let's just go with still playing.
That's still playing.
And I guess when it's better, it's he's just very affable and amenable, and he will give you time. And
I mean, there are some. DJ Foster pops to the top of my head.
Yeah.
Some of the other Cardinals that I have a little bit of a relationship
with. Fitz is that way, but you just have to get through all the layers, and you have to find time.
True.
You just have to – once you get him, he's fine. Calais is one of those that is always there. He walked up on stage and talked very open about his homelessness situation as a 12-year-old and his brothers and sisters. Coming home one day from school and all of his stuff was out front on the lawn, and the embarrassment of that, and to have his classmates as a seventh, imagine as a seventh grader, you come home and you're walking down the street with your buddies and all of your stuff is out on the front lawn and you're told to get out. That's what he went through. And he wrote a check for $55K at this event, which is $11K per home. So he took in five families, built five homes. House of Refuge is really good stuff. Jay Feely's part of that. Just go to House of Refuge online and check it out. On the other side, so this is a quiet period in recruiting. I want to get into that. I went off on some parents over the weekend, so I have to give a reason as to why. I want to circle back on LeBron against Zion last night. So a lot to get to in this final segment on a Monday. So last night I did something that's very rare. I sat and watched an NBA game from start to finish. I usually cannot do that because NBA games go like this. First team to 100 gets the victory. I DVR a lot of NBA games. I sift through. I'll see where a team runs. I'll watch a certain player. I can go back and watch and break stuff down. But the idea of sitting there for 2 hours and 25 minutes and doing nothing but taking in a game at this stage, no, not happening. It's the beauty of the DVR. So last night I sat there for about 2 hours and 15 minutes and watched what was a terrific, terrific basketball game. LeBron James is 35 years of age. LeBron James does not believe in load management. LeBron James plays in back-to-back games. The night before, he played against John Moran in Memphis. And when I watch him go about his business and some of the shots that he made last night, if you're one of those people that wants to go back and forth on who the greatest athlete is of all time and if MJ is better than Kobe is better than LeBron is better than, I just get worn out with that stuff. Take in for what you see, which is greatness. Last night, once again, was greatness. Zion Williamson was not even born, I don't believe, was like two or three when LeBron got into the league. And so the two of them are going after one another last night. And Zion's just destroying guys inside. When Zion Williamson, if he sheds a little bit of weight, he looks a little heavy to me when he's getting up and down the floor. I'm not saying he has a weight problem. It's just through the course of a season, a guy will go up and down a little bit. And when that body finally becomes what his body will be, not that of a teenager still, he's going to be amazing. But the league right now, like I can watch Memphis and John Morant. I can watch Dallas and Luka Doncic. I can watch Utah and see Donovan Mitchell. I like watching his game. I'm finding myself watching a lot more NBA. The college game, outside of the teams that I've got to pay attention to, which is U of A, ASU, GCU, and even what's going on up at NAU this year is a good story with their coaching change, and Shane Bukar is doing a great job up there. The NBA is, to me, becoming a much better product. I can't watch the Suns because it's the same old deal, and I know how this movie is going to end with Devin Booker. If you're one of those that's just hanging on hope that he stays here for the length of his career, which most players don't do, good luck with that. It's not happening. He's starting to turn into the I'm frustrated, disinterested. He has been to that All-Star game. He's had players talk to him. There's not a doubt in my mind that guys have said to him, hey, man, come play with me. There's no doubt in my mind. And so when it does come down, and poor Monty Williams, who's a good coach, he's going through the same routine. It's this way every year where, they could be turning the corner if they just win, and then all of a sudden they just look awful. awful with a capital A against Golden State on Saturday night. Just dreadful. And then it was just stinking Detroit the night before. And then guys like the Morris twins are out there bouncing over to teams that want them, which makes me just hate on the NBA at times even more with guys who are just willing to look the other way. I'll be a turd at one team, but man, the minute I get moved, I'm going to flip the switch and I'm going to be great. Or I'm going to be Beasley. I'm going to be Michael Beasley, and I'll just be a guy that's going to be a load, and I'll continue to get jobs at stop after stop after stop. That part of the NBA I do not like. But watching that game last night, I shut the door to my office. I don't need to be interrupted. I have to take all this in. This was great. So that was on my mind from the weekend.
I guess the most frustrating thing with me, Brad, with the Suns is, so the Suns right now are 24-37. They've lost a handful of games to bad teams. So if they would have four more wins and three less losses, it would make the lipstick on the pig analogy a little bit less fitting, because it is an improvement, but the Suns, it seems like decades ago that 7 seconds or less happened. I mean, I covered the 4A playoff games, championship games in high school basketball at the Coliseum, and sitting in that arena brought back memories of Kevin Johnson, brought back memories of Tom Chambers dunking on Mark Jackson, brought back memories of a young Dan Marley. Like that might as well have been in like the 1800s.
And you are the prime consumer right now.
It's a Suns town.
The Suns would say, we want 18 to 34-year-old male, and I would disagree with that. I said, yeah, you want 18 to 34-year-old male, but you want a certain amount of females to come sample your product.
Yep.
I think this will sound morbid, but I see in the last month that the media is finally, I think we've done a pretty good job over here of accepting women in sports and broadening horizons through the run of this company. We just don't do an all-academic team for football. It's every sport. Everybody deserves a difference. But the NBA has decided, as has the NFL, we need to market towards females. A guy that is in their late 30s and in their 40s is starting to come into money, or has hit some money, or is hitting a space where their priorities are changing a little bit. You do not have to be at every one of a Suns game. But when you go, you're going to go have a good time. You're going to go 2-3 times a year. And so a guy like you that is still as loyal as the day is long, when they figure it out, if they figure it out, and every year we go through that when and if. So the revolving door is going to go like this. Ricky Rubio is closer to the end than the beginning.
Yep.
Devin Booker is closer to the end of pulling the ripcord on Phoenix. His body language has not been good, in my opinion.
Nope.
And we're starting to see those stat lines of 4-17 and that. And then you have DeAndre, who's just... he's doing what a 7-footer can do, the most quiet 17 and 15 or 20 and 12 that I've seen. So they're going to have another high pick again this year. And they'll probably miss out again this year on a kid like Nico Mannion. And even Nico, watching him play at U of A, he's good. But is he Ja Morant? Is he Luka Doncic?
No.
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 So where are we at exactly again?
Nico should come back to school. I know I'm in the minority on that.
You are in the minority on that.
He's struggled with his shot all season.
I think he struggled with his size this season.
He will not be able to. Yeah, of course. And imagine when he plays in the NBA. Yes. He's going to get pushed around. So.
Yes. Yeah. If Luka Doncic takes him down on the low post and posts him up, forget it. He's not strong enough right now. And it's not that he can't be. It's just he's young.
I really think all three of those U of A freshmen should stick around. Even Zeke Nnaji, as impressive as he is, because he's another one, not physically imposing for someone that size, just really skilled.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not an agent, nor am I a talent evaluator. I'm just a guy.
You're not just a guy. I can ask you about college, high school football kids, and you'd be fine. Which leads me to this before we get out of here. So this is the start of the quiet period. The quiet period in recruiting goes like this. And there's people that take in our show and they just don't know. Which is fine. I wanted us to do a better job of educating. I went on a rant over the weekend about how worthless 7-on-7s, club team 7-on-7s are worthless. They're worthless. And you'll say, well, no, they're not. You don't know what you're talking. No, I do know what I'm talking about. You can be just as fine going head-to-head, wide receiver against corner with your school team and run track and do things other than in February over on Field 3 at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Go out there and say, well, there might be some coaches here. There might be some scouts here. They're going to find you anyways. Drives me crazy. Quiet period means that coaches are able to have off-campus meetings with you. They can evaluate you. The only time you meet with the coach is on their campus. So this is the time of year where college coaches do not go, this is football, do not go on campus. You have to go to their campus. And so that's what's going on with quiet period. There's a lot of recruiting news going on with the recruiting roundup. Jordan will have much more on that. Our chairman of the board today was Jared Nielsen. He kept me on track, even with these space cans today. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing. This show repeats over and over and over. Check out our content at sports360az.com. Our TV shows over on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football Easy. We got a lot going on. We're self-funded, which means partners that you see in this stream on our website, they believe in what we're doing. We are self-funded. We appreciate their support. Have a great day.